Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Monday, October 25th, 2021, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am so delighted to be with you this morning. I hope that everybody had a fantastic weekend. I don't know what the fall leaves are doing in your area, because I know we got people all over the place, but I can tell you this much. In Bath County, Virginia, in Monterey, and in Bluegrass, Virginia, they were spectacular. Y'all, I've been all over the world. I've driven all over the place during the fall. In fact, y'all know we just got back from Alaska, and admittedly, it was spectacular fall leaves, especially in the Anchorage area. But I got to tell you, there are very few places that I've ever been, and I've been a whole lot of places, y'all, that can compare to the beauty of driving through Monterey, Virginia, and around Bluegrass and those back roads. It is just spectacular. And Isabel and Amanda went with me, and it was just a great family day on Saturday. And then yesterday had a wonderful Lord's Day together as we worshiped with the saints at Old Providence. And I hope that you can say those sorts of things about your weekend as well. Certainly Saturday was nice. But the highlight of the weekend was being with the Lord's people yesterday. After all, Sunday is the Lord's day, right? So, again, I don't know what your weekend was like, but I come into this Monday at the start of this new work week on Monday. Well, I guess technically yesterday was the start of the work week for me. You might be saying, what are you talking about? Preachers only work on Sundays. Yeah. But nevertheless, I've started this week with an incredible feeling of being blessed. So I hope that you are in that position as well. We ought to be, you know, every single one of us, because of the fact that we are here, that we're drawing breath. All of these things point to the fact that the Lord has indeed blessed us. But why? Why has the Lord done these things? Why is the Lord the way he is? Is it random? Is it because he's in a good mood? No, not at all. You see, God's character points, or the things that God does point to his character. And in his character, we see a profound and deep love for his children. And we'll get to that in a few minutes as we get rolling here. But where we pick up today is in Psalm 18. You might recall that we started Psalm 18 the last time we were together, and really we got through verse 6. First six verses really set up this psalm where we find ourselves. And this is an interesting psalm because up until this point, and the prior 17 psalms or so, they have definitely focused on different subject matter. But many of them have been written by David concerning the persecution he faced under Saul. Y'all remember the paradigm. David was anointed as king. He didn't go looking to be king. God chose David to be the next king of Israel. Samuel was delighted at this. The people would eventually be delighted at this. But Saul, the current king of Israel, not too happy about these things, right? And so Saul would end up coming after David. He would ensnare him on every side. Death, based on human reason and logic, okay? Death was imminent for David, because you've got Saul, the king of Israel, that's come after him, and he had him hemmed in, y'all. I mean, it seriously, by human reason and logic, David could only conclude, I'm a dead man walking here. But that's not what David concluded, and that's not what David did. David instead called on the name of the Lord and was saved. And the interesting thing about Psalm 18 is this is a psalm of deliverance, where all these other times we've talked about the difficulty that David faced, but here in Psalm 18, David stops after victory has been granted, and he remembers the Lord. Last time we were together on Friday, we talked about this whole concept of how we are tempted to forget the Lord. In times of great trouble, we're tempted to despair and conclude that the Lord is just not there and forget about him. But in times of triumph, in times of success, when the tables turn, when everything looks like it's straightened out and squared away, in times of ease and comfort, we are also tempted to forget all about the Lord. Yet, that is not what David does. David recognizes something in what we read together the last time in those first six verses. He says, and I'm summing it up, obviously, but he says, as for me, I was done for. It was over. I had no hope based on myself and my power and my strength. Deliverance comes from the Lord only. Right? So that's what he proclaimed the last time. And at the very beginning of this psalm, he gives the credit for victory to the Lord and to the Lord alone. Right? And of course, the challenge that I offered the last time we were together is, do you see life in this light? Do you remember the Lord to praise him? Because, y'all, praising God is not just about a feeling that we have inside. And praising God is not just about our own simple recognition of what God has done. Also, praising God is not just about being thankful for it. Because, y'all, the core to praising the Lord, the core to thankfulness that we see from Psalm 18 and so many other places like Psalm 107 is testimony. Y'all, it's not good enough to be thankful to the Lord and just feel nice about it in ourselves. It's not just enough to be thankful to the Lord and remember how he's blessed us throughout our lives. That's not enough. As Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And this does not have to be some complicated evangelism thing. Y'all, we have really complicated evangelism. We have complicated telling people about Jesus, because the most wonderful way to tell people about Jesus is just tell them what he's done for you. Because you see, when you do that, you make faith in Christ, not this sales pitch that people might be interested in being a part of this exciting opportunity. No, what you're doing is you're not talking about something that's going on out there. You're testifying to what you've seen, to what you know, to what you have lived. And y'all, that's what's so powerful with other people. That's how the Lord works. So don't complicate evangelism. Don't complicate telling people about Jesus. Just tell them what he's done for you. Point them to his faithfulness throughout his word. Point them to Psalm 18. Because here we see who God is. And with that in mind, that's where we will continue today and learn more about this God that we serve. This God who is our Father. This God that tells us to come to him. Let's pray and we're going to dig in. Father, what a blessing it is to have your word, for in it you reveal who you are. We see your character on display. And as we survey David's life here and how you came to his aid, we see a glimpse of how you treat us. Not because we deserve it, but because we are loved. So, Father, not knowing what everybody's going through today, here on this Monday, the start of this week, I pray that you would encourage us by your word, that we would see you in it, and as a result, have grateful hearts. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So last time we were together, we made it through the first six verses, right? But I'm going to read verse six again, because this is the concept that we're picking up with today. And just roll with me as we read here. So Psalm 18, verse six says this, and this is David again, offering this prayer of thanksgiving, testifying to God's greatness. David says in verse 6, in my distress, I called to Jehovah. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And stop right there. Stop right there for a moment. You know, two things I want to point out. The first is the obvious thing. When you are in distress, I got a question. Do you cry out to the Lord? All right. And I mean that, you know, this thing happens sometimes when distress, when trouble comes, where we go down every single possible road to try to remedy it. And y'all, I'm going to use this thing that I've talked about before. Sometimes we try every single possible way to fix our situation. And then when it's very clear that we can't do a thing about it, then we pray. And if we do that, sometimes we might even use the thing, the phrase, when other people ask, how can I help? We say to them, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. Y'all, if that's your attitude about prayer, that prayer is an all we can do now, that prayer is a last resort. You know what that says about what you really believe about prayer? If prayer is just the thing that you do after you've exhausted every single other remedy, then what that says about prayer in terms of your real belief about prayer is that prayer is no different than flipping a coin into a wishing well. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't happen. I can't do anything else. I'm powerless now, so I guess I'll just turn it over to the Lord. You know, what a lie we tell ourselves if we tell ourselves that. Because the reality is we're powerless from the start. You know, this is one of those cheer up, we don't have any strength kind of things here. Because it points to the fact that, y'all, really, the strength that we have, the tactics we employ, and I don't mean tactics in a sinful sense, but I mean when trouble comes, the things that we try to do to fix it, y'all, all of this, all of it goes back to the Lord. We don't have a thing that the Lord doesn't give us, including wisdom, including strength, including effort. All of this is belongs to God, and He gives it to us. So please don't turn to the Lord last. Turn to Him first, as David did here. And I want to point out something else about this. When we cry out to the Lord, He hears us. But I got to point out the temptation we face with that. Now, this is something that obviously this is between you and the Lord. But I can tell you a way that that Satan tries to work in our hearts, right? And that is, there's a reason why God's word calls him the accuser. One of the things that Satan loves to do is bring up your sin, point you to the ways that you have failed in the past, to the mistakes that you made in the past, so much so that you would be tempted to not even pray, as if you have no credibility to pray. Now, here's the reality. In and of yourselves, yourself, and in and of myself, we don't have any credibility of ourselves. And certainly, as we look back, a lot of times we face trouble in life, not because we're persecuted as David was persecuted here in the Psalms, but because we're facing the consequences of terrible decisions on our part. Just keeping it real, y'all. You know I'm going to do that with you. Just keeping it real. Sometimes we face consequences. And what Satan would tempt us to do is say, you're going to pray about this after you created this situation. You can't go to God and ask forgiveness for this when you went and did it so boldly. You caused this mess and you're going to ask God to fix it. And again, we would be tempted to not go to the Lord. But one of the most beautiful things about Psalm 18 is Psalm 18 shows us who God really is. And it points to the nature of this relationship that we have with God. Do you know what your real relationship with God is like? You know, there's a reason why. Of all the ways that God could refer to himself, and fast forwarding to the New Testament, of all the ways that Jesus could teach his disciples, and by extension, you and me, of all the ways that he could teach us to pray, do you remember how Jesus taught us to pray? He said, when you pray, pray like this. And then Jesus, in his prayer that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, talks to God. And the very first thing that he calls God, and it's not just for Jesus. He says, when you pray, pray like this. And Jesus uses our, not my, our. And he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But it should not be lost on us that the way that Jesus teaches us to refer to God and the truth that Jesus points us to about who God is that he's our Father. And y'all, let me tell you something. He is the best Father that has been or will ever be. He's not a father like me that's selfish. He's not a father like me that has his own thing going on and doesn't pay attention like he should and doesn't always respond as he should. You know, it doesn't matter how good a father is that is a human father here on earth. He can't compare to the Heavenly Father who loves perfectly, who listens perfectly, and who comes to the aid of his children perfectly. And the reason I stress that perfect father aspect is that, y'all, let me tell you something. I am a sinful father. Like I said, I don't do things the way that I should. But listen again to what David has said here. In my distress, I called to Jehovah. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him and to his ears. And what would God, the perfect father, do when he heard the cry of his son? Let me tell you what I, an imperfect father, would do. Let me tell you what I, an imperfect father, has done. Y'all know the difference between when your children cry out of anger, out of frustration, there's a difference between a child yelling over something that they might just be angry about and when a child cries out for help. When a child is in pain, not a child, when your child is in pain. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something about parenthood, but you know, you learn the difference between cries as a parent, right? Even as a baby. And when a baby, and especially when a child starts to really cry out because you know that pain and danger and hurt are all part of the equation, you know it. That's what God heard that David cried out to for him to hear. And God went running. Now, talking about being an imperfect father, let me tell you something, y'all. The little girl that I'm referring to isn't so little anymore. She's 13. She's down the hall right now, and she's probably still asleep. It's 17 in the morning. But let me tell you something. If that little girl cries out for help, you better watch out. It doesn't matter if there's a wall in the way. I'm just going to pick where I want the door because I'm getting there. And if you're in the way, because that's my girl, y'all. That is my child. And again, I'm imperfect. How much more so does the Heavenly Father respond? And if you believe I'm being dramatic about this, whew, you ain't heard nothing yet. Verse 7, where we pick up today. This is David talking about what God did when he heard the cry of his son. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. Y'all, let me tell you, I like to get along with people, and I consider myself a nice person, but when anger comes in, and mine is often not righteous anger, again, watch out. But I'm just a man. What do I have? What power, what strength do I have? What strength do you have when anger comes in? We're talking about the Almighty. We're talking about the one that spoke all things into existence, that holds the universe in his hand. And when God heard David cry, he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. This sounds like Job, doesn't it? You know, when the Lord came to Job out of the whirlwind, we learned so many things about this God that we serve, including that he stores lightning and hail in his storehouses above, waiting to release them. He continues on. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. Oh, what this must sound like. what this must feel like to we humans in a world that was spoken into existence. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies. Great bolts of lightning and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth were laid bare at your rebuke, O Jehovah. At the blast of breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but Jehovah was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. My friends, what we see from David here and the message for us simply points us to both the power of God in that who's going to stand in God's way? Really and truly, who can contend with the Almighty? But also, not only do we see the power of God, we see the love of God. And we see God's response to his children when they call on him. And in light of that, I must ask you, have you called on the Lord? I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with in life. But I can tell you this much, God has not changed one single bit. Now, the objection to this might be, has often been, well, you know, God did this because this is King David. God anointed him as king and God had a plan for David. And so God did this because this is King David. And in fact, God did this also because King David was righteous and we can go down the line. Now that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And I'm not going to negate, if that's what you're saying, oh, well, God listened because David earned God's listening. Or David earned this response from God. That's not really a fair statement in some ways, but in other ways, it's a very fair statement. And then what folks can conclude is, okay, God listened to David like this, but that's because David earned it. God's never going to listen to me like this. The reality, though, is that, my friends, that's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For you see, what we're going to talk about tomorrow is why, even in our sinfulness, God still hears the cries of his children. Preview of coming attractions, it's not because we've earned it. It's because we're loved for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ, who did cry out to the Father. Yet out of love for us, his Father stayed his hand of judgment on the earth and let his son perish, sent him, in fact, to perish. But raised him again from the dead. As it is for today, for today's devotional thought, we're out of time. Are you making it your practice to turn to the Lord first? And do you really believe that he hears you? Let me tell you, he does. And as it is here with David, so it will be with you. The Lord will come a-running because he's just that wonderful. He's just that loving, and he has called us to be his own. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much that your love is so immense and so powerful and so wonderful, it's beyond our wildest reckoning. We don't have to understand it to be grateful for it, though. And certainly, we don't have to understand it to turn to you as you've commanded. What a great privilege to be your children. It really is. Not knowing what everybody's going through today, right now, and not even knowing what people will be going through who find this, who knows when. Father, please draw them to yourself that they would turn to you first. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. I see we've had Christine and Monica and Stacy. Good morning. And there's Becky and Alice and Marianne and Rose. Good morning. Then there's Sybil and Rebecca and Helen and Linda and Wayne. Great having y'all and everybody else that's here with us. Again, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, I hope you have an excellent Monday.